Good morning, everyone. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. I'm Georgia.
And I'm Hannah.
And you're listening to Film Picnic. We begin, as always, by acknowledging that Film Picnic is recorded on the ancestral lands of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh peoples. This land is referred to as unceded territory because it was not given up freely, and it continues to be home for the indigenous communities from which it is stolen.
Yes, it is with immense privilege that we talk into these microphones and share our stories, as stories have been shared for generations before us on this land. We hope that Film Picnic can be a space for shared accountability, knowledge sharing, and reconciliation. This always was and always will be Indigenous land. Hi, Georgia.
Hi, Hannah. How are we?
Morning, evening? I don't even know what to say. We're pre-recording this episode, you guys.
You're hearing it in the morning if we're on CITR,
but we're currently a little bit in sleepover mode.
It's very much cozy vibes, very much low lighting. No one else is in the studio right now.
it's just us scheming.
No, it's great. It's good. Honestly, I feel like a very appropriate setting to speak about what we're talking about today.
I agree. I was saying to Georgia as I was coming in, I feel like this episode is going to be very much, one, a mindfulness session for us both, but two, like, do as I say, not as I do, right at this stage in my life.
Acknowledging the hypocrisy.
I acknowledge the fact that
Yeah, but that's okay.
Speaking of what this episode is about.
Guys.
Today... This is a big topic. Today we're talking about burnout.
As film industry professionals, as creatives, as human beings,
I think as a society in today's day and age.
Yeah, all of it wrapped together. I mean, yeah, I
capitalism.
Think like
capitalism.
So
we're no, going there.
It all. I mean, yeah, truly. Like in doing, I'll be honest, in doing research for this episode, it was a little discouraging.
Yeah,
and a little like. You know, reality check. But at the same time, I mean,
it's good to check in with ourselves.
It's good to check in with ourselves. And part of what we want to do with Film Picnic is give a realistic glimpse into what's going on.
What is it like in the film industry?
What is it actually like? Not just, you know, what are the fun parts, but like, what's behind the curtain?
And also, how do you take care of yourself? And how do you, you know, pave a way and build habits that are going to allow you to sustain a life in the film industry.
Yeah.
And hopefully we can talk about maybe some strategies that you and I I'm hoping to use to prevent burnout, but I've already implemented some strategies.
Oh yeah. Listeners, listener discretion. We'll talk about some and nothing to like, you know, not scary information.
Just take everything that we say with a little bit of a grain of salt.
But we hope we leave you feeling hopeful.
Yes.
We're gonna talk about kind of the lows, but then also how we can manage them and solutions. And there's hope. There's
and I
hope
also think that like this is an important conversation to have because I think a lot of the energy in the film industry in particular is like. You have to want it so bad that you will literally drop your whole life and everything else for it. And that's great. Good for you if you want to do that. But like that shouldn't be an expectation to find success and to be able to live and work in this industry. I think, you know, I think I've said before, I've had coffee chats with people who have been in the industry for a long time and came up in a different time. And they've kind of made interesting remarks about the quote unquote work ethic of our generation. And I think that what our generation is more aware of is just like we don't need to kill ourselves to do the jobs.
Yeah.
There are more constructive ways, I think, and productive ways to get work done.
Yeah. Also, I think we're a generation that's not afraid to advocate for ourselves.
Exactly.
Which is a big deal. I will say, and I'll bring this up later in the episode too, just with research, but the way that COVID has influenced workflows and also like...
And also people's ability to work.
Well, yeah, like working from home, that kind of boom that was created, like once people realized it was possible, trying to get people to go back into the office after understanding that like methods of production for whatever job could be adjusted to accommodate for the health and safety of people, employees...
They can be.
Yeah, like proving that it's real, proving that it's
possible. You don't have to go into work when you're sick. I will say film industry is interesting because, you know, you have development phases and you have post-production, but I guess being on set is being on set, right? If you have an on-set position.
Hannah, I just want to ask you, What does burnout look like to you?
I was going to ask you the same thing.
We can both answer.
Okay. So for me, I'm someone, I would describe myself as a little bit of a workaholic. I don't know if you could tell.
You're busy. You're a busy person.
Busy,
I'll say
that much. I stay busy. But I feel like I've always considered myself the type of person that is like, I'm very much all or nothing. And this is something that I don't think is sustainable and I'm actively trying to work on. But I will work 3 jobs and do a million things for like a few months straight. And then I will have to take a week up to a month where I literally cannot physically do anything, which is my, that's burnout. Like I can't achieve things in a day.
I mean, I'll say too, I think also something we've talked about before, but university and especially I think UBC,
because it is, how do you have a life?
Well, I mean, UBC too specifically is like September to December and then January to April. So it's literally 8 months and 4 months. Whereas you have other universities that start in October and end in June, you know, like something much more spread out where it's,
and they have like breaks. Whereas we have reading break next week, which is 3 days. Our semester, like our breaks within the semester are 3 days.
All that said, it's an incredible privilege to be able to learn and study here. But I think,
100%.
You know, like being, I mean, being a student, it's designed to be all encompassing and designed like you
don't really have anything.
You live on the campus, you work on the campus, you are studying on the campus, your grocery store is on the campus. Like, you know, unless you make these deliberate efforts to kind of separate yourself from that. And I think film can really be the same way.
Oh, like, my
I mean,
God.
Yeah.
like we are expected to, for, I mean, no, I'm thinking about film school, but like film in general is also like project, right? You have a few months on, a few months off. Personally, I like that about, that's how I actually function. I say I do burn out, which I do, and I'm learning how to, you know, not do that, which I will explain. We're going to get there, but I like that it's kind of like you can put your all into a project and then take some time off. But it's important to be able to take some time off.
Yeah. I mean, and I think it's worth saying too, like there's different phases of life that work well with that kind of schedule. And then there's different phases of life that really, you know, like if you have a child and you want to be part of their day every day. You know. Like, you know, if you're on set or doing things for so long, and it can become difficult to manage your time.
Yeah, I will say I feel like my first, like I, you know, I burned out with school and high school, whatever. But my first, like, oh, I need to like learn how to balance this was after my second year of university. I was on set every weekend for 2 months, and that was like. Yeah, and by every weekend, I mean Friday to Sunday, 12 hours each day, maybe more.
Wow.
And then I had 6 classes, and then I was starting Destiny Productions, and it was just like, I had zero social life. Mm-hmm. I had zero personal time. Like, it was like, I wake up, work, and then drop to my bed. You know what I mean? And there was not a single day off for, like, months. Right. And I literally couldn't even look at anything film related for the whole summer, which was great. But I actively was like, okay, well, now I clearly need to view rest as productive because I can't really do anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I got into my daily journaling, actually.
Hey.
But it took me like 3 months to recover from that. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, there's got to be a better way to manage this.
Yeah. And I think a big part of it, too, is like what you're saying, building time into your schedule to rest.
There's only so much time in a day. There's only so much time in a week. Mm-hmm. There's never going to be an end to the work that you could be doing. So like, you know, we have working hours, you and I.
Yeah, we try.
Well, we say do. That. I'm texting Georgia at 10 p.m.
No, it's, I mean,
it is 8:30 right now.
It is 8:30 right now. I mean, I think, you know, it's so interesting. Like, we go between, even when I'm talking about productivity and I'm like, how am I realistically going to obtain and execute these tasks? Like, how am I going to achieve my goals that I've set for myself? You know, what are the steps that I'm going to do? How am I going to get the work done? But it's always work focused, and there's never you know, when people talk about time blocking in their schedules, which is kind of what I'm getting at, yeah. I'm never time blocking. I'm never like, and 2 hours here for me time. It's always like task, task, task. And then the
and
me
then
time
if you
just
don't
kind of
check off your tasks. How do you feel?
Well, it doesn't make me feel good. And then the me time just exists in the ether. You know, it exists from the hours that aren't on the schedule, which is
and
like 2 a.m.
procrastination
to 6 a.m.
Bedtime procrastination.
Yes. Yes. I don't know. Yeah.
Time blocking was a thing I did a lot in high school. Like, mm-hmm. I time blocked.
Yeah, I mean, you
and
kinda,
you know, I feel like I consider myself. Sorry. Wait, what did you say?
Something about the cadence of your voice. It's just so funny. I'm so sorry.
No, I appreciate it.
You time blocked in high school.
I did time block in high school. And I don't know. Like, I go through periods where I, like, have a million things to do in a day and I don't time block any of it because it's just too much. Mm-hmm. And I think that's an indication of, like, Hana, let's take a step back and look what you have on your plate.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, I'll say, even on a, you know, I've been working on more film sets, which is good. Like, obviously, I'm not in the acting world, so I haven't been
yet. Well,
your
face is going to be on the screen at Whistler Film Festival.
This is true. This is real. This is real. We're talking about DTF.
Guys, DTF.
As if we don't talk about it enough on this
every
show.
Every single episode. I'm just going to.
DTF got into Whistler Film Festival. We love that. Thank you.
So we'll be there.
Find
us at Whistler Film Festival.
Catch us there. On time blocking.
Yeah.
On scheduling. Even talking about. Just burnout, but like, you know, how time management can contribute to that. I mean, we'll talk a little bit about production conditions and film and how that contributes.
Yeah, because it's not just a personal
issue. Not just a you issue.
It's not you, guys. It's the way that this industry is set up. It's actually insane.
But I, you know, on a personal level, even between school and bar job and then working, being offered positions on film sets.
Yeah.
I have family close by, which is really great.
We were talking about this.
I have family close by, and it's like, in my mind, I'm like, already I have to recognize, okay, I need to build in time for the things that are important to me. Because, you know, like, in film, you want to leap on every opportunity you get, especially when you're young and you're hungry and you want every chance. It's like, okay, people are offering me these things, you know, and then you want to learn and you want to keep this momentum going from set to set.
Yeah.
But then I was like, okay, wait a minute. These things are important to me, and it's Thanksgiving. It's American Thanksgiving, or it's, you know, someone is graduating, or there's these life events that are happening, and it's like, let's take a moment and think about priorities and how that should be a part of being able to lead a healthy and sustainable life while you're still doing a job that you care about.
That's the thing I will say. On like my second year, my priorities were 110% my work, which is fine. I think there's periods of time in life where that's okay, your priorities shift. But like, you know, I was on set for my best friend's 21st birthday, and like, I didn't really need to be. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was great experience, but I could have taken one night off. It was also an overnight set. You know, it was a good opportunity. It was cool. And I'm not saying like, don't do your set positions, but there were things in that year where I'm like, you know, you could have just spent some time with your friends, Hana. You didn't need to be like, not sleeping for 3 days and like,
well, I mean,
quite literally injuring yourself. Yeah. I injured my back.
It's crazy the things that do get bumped down on the priority list, because you've got like the basic human functions and needs of like, I need to eat, I need to sleep, I need to drink water, but then
I need to clean my room. That doesn't happen.
Well, but then it's, you know, it's like, even if you're working these extremely long hours and then you've got
shower
one day off.
Yeah.
If your one day off is spent entirely covering the basic human needs that you were kind of, you know, like allowing the human need, like, if you know, if you're trying to get some sleep, the one day that you have off, you're spending in bed because you're tired and you're like,
which
oh my
is
God,
what
finally
I was doing.
To sleep.
I would have like one day off a month, and like that, and then, I'd spend that day in bed.
And then where is the time for having a relationship, having friendships, having hobbies? You know, I think that's, and maybe that's like kind of the crux of what we're getting at today.
Well, this is me right now. I am like actively, I will say, currently most of my relationships revolve around the creative work that I'm doing. But I don't see that as a bad thing. Like, I do enjoy that. I like creating with my friends. But I
we talk a lot about community.
We do talk a lot about community. But I'm also making it a priority to go out and do things that are not film related, even if it's with those same people. Like, me and my friends have started, my friends in the film program with me have started going out for coffee on Saturday mornings. And I know that's so simple and so small, but like, I don't do that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is so refreshing. This is like a nice reset where I'm not like completely just either thinking about work or thinking about like groceries.
My roommates and I, my roommates who are not involved in film at all, we went out to dinner all together last night.
Cute.
And it was just shocking because we've lived together for 4 years now, and we went to a restaurant that we went together in first year once.
Aww.
And then we were
Been living together since first year?
I mean, first year we weren't all in the same dorm. Some of us were in the same dorm, but it was, I mean, we were cohabitating. We were spending all our time in one room.
This is so cute.
And then, yeah.
I love your relationship.
Yeah, no, it was really cute. But then it's like, oh my goodness. Like, we went out to dinner once in first year and then once in fourth year.
I know. Like, I think I went out to dinner once with my roommates.
Yeah.
In 2 years.
And it's a small thing to do, but then
or
you're
like had dinner together maybe twice.
I'll say we made it happen because last week we were like, let's schedule it in.
That's good. That's important.
Let's put it in the calendar.
It's so important. Like, okay, this is something my therapist said to me, guys. We're getting so real.
So real.
You know, there's three things that, man, was it three or four? I don't know. I'm going
to
say three.
Why are you looking at me like I know?
You know, there's a triangle of priorities, shall we say.
Yeah.
This was my personal triangle.
Okay.
Which was work. And work and school.
Okay.
Well, maybe, I don't remember. Okay, I'm just... What am I saying? It's like work and school, a social life, and like rest. Those three things cannot be at the top of the pyramid at the same time.
Not all the time, no.
And I think that usually one of those things is probably a little bit on the wayside. But I don't know what I was going with there. But knowing where your priorities lie.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay if social is not taking up your priorities at that stage, but like, you need to be doing work and rest, right? It's okay if, well, I think self-care should always be there, to be honest.
I mean, so real. I mean, even what you're saying, just like those three kind of categories, like even when one is the top priority or when one is consuming a lot of your time and energy, it's important to acknowledge that the other spheres exist. And I think that's like, yes, you know, what we're saying.
That's
like,
what I'm getting at.
Productions. Film productions and working in the industry makes work your one main thing. And then it's like, okay, well, there's still rest and there's still social relationships, but those things aren't being taken care of.
Yeah.
I'm going to give
That's
us some stats.
That's a good segue. I was going to say, like, on that note, working in, I think we're kind of talking about narrative here, right?
I would say so.
I mean, yeah, I think documentary is different. Documentary is a whole world of its own. Like, it is also crazy, but it's not, like, the same in-out times, right?
Or it's maybe just so much more varied, because then you have documentarians who
that are, like, on
go
and site
live
for, like,
in
12 days. You're the, so right.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of difficult to say, I guess,
yes,
with documentary.
But this is what I mean. Like, we're looking at kind of statistics that are talking about a 12-hour workday.
Mm-hmm.
That is the standard. In the American side of the industry, at least.
Yeah.
North American.
There was a great video talking about
which is
why we want to, or how working towards a 8 to 10 hour workday,
which I'm an advocate for. Whenever I'm producing or directing, I'm like, okay, yeah, I know we have 3 days to shoot this short film, so like 12 hours we kind of need to take up. But, like, that's not where starting work in 12 hours and finishing. That's, like, we're wrapping at 10, and then people have 2 hours to, like, get themselves home. But still, it's a really long time.
Yeah. Well, also, a majority of productions don't account for transportation to and from work as part of
work
time. I've
had to catch Ubers at 4 in the morning, and that Uber on the lost set actually left me on the side of the road in Langley before the sun had risen on the highway. Anyway.
yeah, this... So, I was looking at a really just like actually fantastic YouTube video from a script supervisor who's been working in the industry for like 30 years. Her name is Daniela Saloni. I don't know if I'm pronouncing her last name right. But she was just literally standing in Rome talking to the camera about her experience as a script supervisor because she was on set in Rome. And she was like, I think we should have shorter working hours because that's how it is in some areas in Europe.
See, this is why I'm interested in the UK.
Yep. Yeah.
I feel like they have a better work-life balance over there.
Yeah. Well, just, you know, there's some, I think, a push for more sustainable working practices. And it's certainly, like, with shooting hours, I think, is, like, the big thing that the video kind of addresses. But 8 to 10 hours, an hour for lunch. Sometimes, I was reading, France sometimes has, like, a rolling lunch. So you're just like eating while you're working when you can.
That's so French.
She was saying she was on a production in Italy where they sat, the entire crew sat down and had food served to them, which is like
beautiful.
What a thought. Yeah, for a full hour. But then she was like, isn't it interesting how these American TV shows that go over and shoot in Europe just kind of adapt to the local norms and adapt to the production standards. And
so y'all can do it.
So it's doable, you know? And then you've got specific, I mean, you know, it's so interesting too, because then it's like in the States, even if a 12 hour day is normalized, which we, or, you know, 12 to like can no, be 24.
Like
12,
like literally, yeah. Matthias was on set for 24 hours the other day. Yeah. I'm not kidding. Like, no sleep, shooting 24 hours straight.
24 hours.
Which is sickening. That was an indie production, so that wasn't union. But, like, 12 hours is, like, before you go into overtime. And then, like, people, I don't want to say people like going into overtime, but it's a thing. You get paid more, right?
So then
people
are
kind of, like, obviously people want to go home, but you're getting paid, like, double.
Yeah.
And then you're working maybe 15 hours, maybe 16. And then you're driving home. And usually the drive is like an hour, maybe more, because you're shooting out in the sticks often.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's not the healthiest thing in the world.
It doesn't feel sustainable.
And I remember, I'm so sorry to bring the mood down, you guys. We'll bring it back up, I promise. But
I think we're talking about real stuff. We're talking about real stuff.
I remember sitting in my motion picture industry orientation course. Mm. That was a mouthful. And the woman leading the course was talking about different statistics. And the reason that we were taking it was because we had to learn how to be safe and take care of ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it was kind of a thing of like, I don't even know, but I won't go there. But
okay.
But she just spewed this bit of information and was like, the life expectancy for someone in the film industry is late 40s, early 50s. You have an actual statistic on this, Georgia, that is burned into my brain.
It's kind of a harrowing stat to look at. So this data that I'm referencing right now is based on
68 is not
obituaries and union data from Vancouver and then from Toronto, and the. So it's looking at, it's basically just a spreadsheet made by people that work in the film industry that were like interested in investigating this. And the life expectancies for Canadians that are working in the film industry. For Vancouver, it's 59. Average life expectancy for someone that's working in the film industry. And the Canadian average is roughly 69.
Which is also not that old in my head. 69? You should.
You know, I'm thinking
that's
about it.
That's kind of horrifying.
I think the United States, it used to be that's 65 really for a man what? And like 74 for a woman.
That's crazy.
You know what? This is off the top of my guys. Please take that with a grain of salt.
Wow. So that's like a 9 or 10 year difference. That's like.
Yeah. Which I think also like, I just want to qualify. These stats are based on a sample size of 137 people.
So it's not like sweeping across.
No, but it's real data of real people that are all, and you can go through this spreadsheet and see all of their names and what year they were born, what year they passed away, how many years they worked in the industry, what specific part of the industry they were working in. And it's just.
Sorry, I'm not laughing at that. There was someone waving at us through the window.
It's just really astounding like to kind of look at that raw data. And then even looking between the different departments of who had specifically, you know, longer life expectancies or shorter life expectancies, the life expectancy for people in the Greens department is 43 years old. And Greens, for those of you who may not know, like me earlier today, people that are maintaining anything natural. So like landscaping.
Yeah.
You know, like if you have topiaries or lawns or greenery, plants, natural life. Yeah, but transport too, like...
And also, like, when you think about transport, they're the ones doing the driving.
Well, that's... I was going to say
the first ones
longest.
Up.
They're the first ones up. They're the last ones out.
They'll, like, pick up the talent, drive people in, hours. Drive people home.
Yeah. She was looking at this sheet and kind of just dictating some of the data.
Who's she?
Danielle.
Okay.
The person who I'm referencing details from. She was, like, looking at people who didn't make it to 60 years old. 20% of those people were working in the transport department. Just which is
26 or 26%?
20% of people who didn't make it to 60 years old.
Wow.
Were people from that specific department. You know, it's just, yeah, it's grueling on your body.
It's grueling. And like, there's also obviously so many factors that go into this. Like, it's not just the amount of hours that you're spending on set. Obviously, there's lifestyle factors and like the types of, well, not the types of people in the industry, but just the culture that a lot of this industry cultivates with drug use and addiction and all of that kind of stuff.
I mean,
but that all.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, but I'm just saying that all is like a cocktail for.
Yeah.
Not taking it. It just doesn't encourage individuals to take care of themselves very well.
It's a system that's not set up to do that. And
no.
it's actually a system that's
like built, set up to like literally squeeze squeeze you dry.
I was gonna say too, like there's just overworking in general, like the health risks that are associated with it.
And I'm so guilty.
You know, I mean, yeah, it's like it applies to the film industry because of the long hours, but too, just outside of that.
Oh, there's other
people,
many
people
other
that
professions,
are
nurses,
other professions, certainly.
That's the first one that came to mind.
No, that one's so real though. Okay, wait. 10% of those working 50 to 60 hours report relationship problems. The rate increases to 30% for those working more than 60 hours. Working more than 10 hours a day is associated with a 60% jump in risk of cardiovascular issues. Working more than 40 hours a week is associated with increased alcohol and tobacco consumption, as well as unhealthy weight gain in men and depression in women.
See, this is the thing.
A lot of
I'm a lover
of
girl,
here.
Georgia. Can we talk about my relationship status for a second? No, I'm kidding. I'm a lover girl. I want a family. I want to be a mommy. I want a soft life, but like, what am I doing?
Which should be achievable.
Which should be achievable,
and
it
is, love
your
job
and we are trying
time.
To pave that way.
Yes,
and it is, but it's just something that, like, I think since my second year, since that course, since burning out really bad, I've been really conscious of that. Like, that is, it's a privilege for that to be a choice. It's a privilege for that to be a choice.
Oh, absolutely.
But I'm in a position where that is a choice for me to like. Decide, Hana, like, you could probably actually, I think we could all implement a little bit of, what is it, TLC?
Tender Love and Care. what are you thinking? What are you saying?
Just self-care.
Self-care.
Just rest. I think we could all view rest as a little bit more productive than we do.
Rest.
But, yeah, it is a choice to, like, be a workaholic and, like, be not taking a pause.
Yeah.
And that pause can be, like, the time that you're spending on your phone. You know what I mean? Like, a constructive pause that actually makes you feel good. That's not just rotting, which, like, sometimes that's all you can do and all you have the energy to do. But that comes from, like, where else you're putting your energy.
Yeah. And we'll talk solutions. Solutions, too.
This is all not doom and gloom. I remember being in first year and a fourth year telling me, oh, my God, you still have, like, the spark in your eye. Like, I remember that. And it just made me feel like...
Also, how funny of, like, someone who's only 3 years older.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I had,
like,
so many, like, fourth years tell me, like, oh, that'll go. Like,
oh my God,
don't worry.
You're such
the
a baby.
You're such a baby. The program will stomp that out of you. No, it's, like, okay. Like, I just think that's not a nice thing to say to someone who's excited. And I hope that we're not emulating that energy, because that's not at all what we're trying to say. We're trying to say this is a wonderful space that we can create. We just have to be conscious of the place that has been created before us.
Oh, well, also, like, just acknowledging that it's an issue and acknowledging that, you know, unrealistic working hours are a thing that exists. Like, I don't, we're here to discuss the good, the bad, the ugly.
Period.
But let's talk about why it's real, why it's happening. Yeah. I did want to mention, when we were actually talking the concept for this episode, or, you know, because internal episodes are so fun, because we just get to gab about whatever we want to gab about.
Yeah, we go hard on the research for external, and for internal, we're like, let's talk about this. And then Georgia still goes hard, and I'll read Georgia's notes.
I get a little obsessive about it, but it's so interesting. I was gonna say, when
lay down,
please. Oh my god, let's
guys, I was paying homage to Cody in our last episode. Loved it.
Can I lay down? That was a terrible impression, but
that was good.
You guys know what I'm saying. Okay. When we were talking about this episode, I was remembering an interview I'd read. I watch a lot of interviews, guys.
She does. I can attest to that.
King Bill Hader of SNL, and Barry, comedy actor and low-key drama actor. He's done it all.
Low-key
Skeleton
King.
Twins. Low-key King. I was just remembering this interview that I read where he was talking about, we were talking about burnout, and this interview with Bill Hader, he was talking about the difficulty, I mean, kind of work-life balance, you know, but like burnout in the sense that the long production hours keep him away from his family, and that was really hard for him. And he has this whole interview where he's just talking about the difficulties of having to be away from his kids for long periods of time as an actor and a director. But, you know, I think part of it that's disheartening is the way he speaks about it as plain fact, you know? And he's like, this is, you know, any actor has to deal with it, is like a direct quote from the interview, which it's like,
you have to be away from home a lot.
And it's just something that everyone's like, yep, that's the way it is. And he's, you know, he talks about making these really deliberate attempts to break away from that. And he's like, we buy two copies of every book so I can have a book and then my daughter can have a book and we'll like Skype or,
oh,
you know, we'll FaceTime and read it together.
That literally breaks my heart. That's,
I know,
like, so...
It's just like, you know, I mean, obviously, like, the nature of production, especially when you're shooting on location and you're going away for these extended periods of time, like, it's difficult. And how can we be working to change that? He was saying... He was like, I love that he mentioned he was at the Golden Globes. He was like, I don't want to say any names, but someone at the Golden Globes told me. And I was like, okay. was like, a person in the industry was encouraging him to get a TV show and just make a TV show so he could stay in town. And then now the man has Barry, a TV show.
That's what I want. That's my dream of, like,
as like sustainability.
Having a consistent show that I'm on that's like... paying me consistently.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, just stability. And, like,
the man's just in LA and he's just seeing his kids.
That's, yeah. I mean, coming from a child of someone who worked a lot and was away often, like, I really, that's a huge thing on my brain of, like, I want to be home for my kids. And, like, I want to figure out a way to make that all work. So we'll see. We'll see.
Oh, it's difficult.
It is. I do love the travel aspect of it, though. Like, I love that film can take you to so many places. That's also a drawing factor. So it's kind of like.
Yeah. I mean, which is interesting, too, like, to consider when you've got these, you know, like, oh, how do you combat burnout? Part of it is making time for family and friends.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, this means if you're doing a production, and you're the adult, and you're the parent, can you bring your family with you?
See, this is what I want.
How do you make that happen?
I want to bring, this is my dream, I want to, like, maybe not me personally homeschool my kids, but, you know, my partner, or a third party.
A third party, I mean.
Homeschooling can be quite self-sufficient when they're older, but I would love to just bring my kids traveling for at least a period of our lives together.
Yeah. Beautiful. Oh my god, manifestations.
Yeah.
On Film Picnic.
I've literally looked up international, like, schools for my kids. Anyway,
anyway.
Anyway.
Okay, we're gonna talk. Yeah, okay. Production hours, long production hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like North America, it can be 70 hours to 90 hours a week.
Which
during
I was doing
full throttle production times. Yeah.
Yeah.
No wonder people are burnt out.
Like, no. Like, how?
Yeah.
People do it. And, like, I'm just so good on you guys. Like, that's crazy.
Mm. It was this girl, Daniela, was saying, we get paid. She was talking about overtime, which is
See,
also.
See, this is what I'm saying. Which is also like, really people are kind of like, obviously, I don't want to work more than 12 hours, but overtime is so good.
Well, she was like, we get paid three times as much to be one third as efficient. Because, you know, if you've been on your feet for 15 hours.
No, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to
get
injured.
How much are you achieving after that point?
Yeah.
Like, I imagine the efficiency decreases.
Well, my injury happened at 4 a.m. So if I've been injured for 2 years, guys. I lifted a dolly, which was stupid, but I was in second year of university and, like, didn't know you're not supposed to try and lift a dolly with one other person. And yeah
so also
yeah
weird hours means weird meal times.
Oh,
weird metabolism. Ooh. Taking a toll on your body. Weird messed up circadian rhythms.
This
person had a great wealth of knowledge. I'm referencing it a lot, but just because it's so relevant. She was talking about how in Canada your first lunch break or your lunch
is six hours
after you started.
Yeah.
Whereas some of the European productions that she'd worked on.
You can push 12 minutes into lunch.
Well, she was saying some of the European productions she'd worked on had mandated lunch times. So it's like, it wouldn't matter if you'd been
starting at like 8 a.m. or 6 a.m.
Like, you're eating breakfast at regular breakfast time. You're eating lunch at a regular lunch time.
Oh, that's lovely. Eating I have dinner lunch at regular 3 a.m. sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, it's like we get, like, yeah, like lunch, 8 a.m.
Which just takes,
no kidding.
It's confusing for your body.
Yeah, it is really confusing for your body. And you're also eating, like, something I love about going to set is being fed.
Oh, yeah.
No, like, I love that they feed you, and I always feel well fed. Sometimes the food is gross, but the food isn't often, like, very good for you. Do you know what I mean?
It's kind of like, oh.
It's like mashed potatoes, like, which is yum, but it's like, I don't know, just like oily, fatty stuff that kind of makes you want to go to sleep.
Independent productions, it's like the Costco muffins.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah, true. Independent productions is literally
like,
it's like
Costco
lasagna,
chips.
Costco lasagna.
Granola bars that have been sitting
Welch's,
for eons. Yeah.
Or Mott's.
Why are fruit snacks and why is
I
juice
eat them
such,
all year round because I always end up with like food from productions in my basement, and then I just have juice boxes and Welch's and like mini chip packets.
For days.
How do you manage your burnout, Georgia?
I'm learning.
You're learning.
As we all.
How are you? Where do you think you are on that journey?
With burnout.
And how are you feeling right now? Because
it's a busy
I think we've
time.
Mentioned, you it's know, you're
time.
Working, you're in school.
It's school. It's
you're
work.
Doing a radio
it's,
show.
It's radio show. It's like, yeah, I don't know. I feel really blessed to have a life that is full of opportunity.
Period.
Also because I think Han and I are both the ambitious kind of people that are like not just taking the opportunities that come to us, but actively seeking out.
Yeah.
You know, we're like, we're coffee chatting.
We're
making this show.
And I think
we're taking initiative to do things.
Yeah.
Which eats up time. And
it
then
does.
You have social life, and then you have
which
family.
I think you've been doing a good job of. Sorry, these guys are like seeing our set, and then like. Anyway,
that's okay.
We're
we have
just
an
being
audience.
Observed.
No,
we're being
okay.
Perceived. What was I saying? Oh yeah, you've been great. You've been like there have been periods of time where George is like, Hannah, I think you should go out and see your friends.
Well,
you should do that.
I'm
like, thank you. You're right.
I'm trying to be cognizant of like, here's how I feel. Here's how I feel, and here are the things that I'm like, how can I phrase this? You know, when it's like, if you have negative self-talk, imagine that you're saying those things to your best friend.
That's exactly how I learned to love myself.
Yeah. And then it's like, okay, well, if I saw my best friend running her life in a way that was entirely unsustainable and taking a toll on her mental health because she can't say no to anything, I would be concerned for her well-being.
Period.
And then I had to look at my own life and be like, you know, or, you know, and it's great because, like, I have people in my life that care about me and they're like, Georgia, you're doing a lot. Like, how are you doing? Which, are you sleeping? Are you eating? Are you taking time for yourself?
Which I think is something, like, you can set up a space and a system where you feel supported in that. And mm-hmm. we're like, I mean, you and I, as collaborators, as friends, as teammates and partners, we've set up a good system of checking in and being like, how are you? How's your capacity? What do you think mm-hmm. about this?
Which is great.
We really, I think, care about each other's well-being and, like, are able to discuss things. And I think I'm really proud of the way that I've cultivated that in other projects. Like, when I'm producing, that's kind of the center, is care and consideration for the, I always say, people over project, because we are all doing a lot, and, like, it's so important to set up a space where people feel comfortable knowing that they can say no.
Yeah.
This is a huge thing about consent in film as well, which is a whole nother topic. But, like, right. knowing that they can say no, and that they're not going to be crucified for that, or yeah. not crucified, but, like, no. opportunities aren't going to be taken away because of that. And I think that's a huge concern for a lot of people in this industry where everyone wants, you know, there's a lot of people who want the same things that you do. And there's a hustle culture.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I agree with that. What if we take a quick little break and then come back and talk about some strategies for, because this is a beautiful segue.
I think that's a great segue. I think that's a wonderful idea.
Okay, great. Guys, we're going to be gone for like 2 minutes and then we'll be right back to continue talking about artistic burnout, work-life burnout.
And how we can manage.
And how we can go forward.
Are you someone in recovery? Someone struggling with addiction or disordered eating? Or are you simply curious to explore your relationship to alcohol, drugs, and other types of addictive behaviors? The UBC Student Recovery Community is a safe space to connect with others. The SRC provides many types of support, such as drop-in hours, recovery meetings, one-on-one support, and even has a dedicated recovery lounge. The SRC supports all pathways of recovery, from harm reduction to abstinence and everything in between. You can learn more at recovery_UBC on Instagram. And you can also contact the community at src.recovery@ubc.ca. Remember, you're not alone.
IndieFest is a fiercely modern festival celebrating innovation in the performing arts, empowering artists and audiences alike toward new, hopeful futures. On the main stage, dive into a cyberpunk, queer reimagining of Greek myth with the world premiere of Eurydice Fragments at the Center for Digital Media from November 15th to the 23rd. Don't miss this immersive theater experience featuring powerful vocal performances and live motion capture technology. Explore all IndieFest events and get your tickets today at indiefest.ca. IndieFest.ca.
Picture this. You're walking into your local record store and start skimming the many records until you find an album that you recognize. You pick out the album, check the track list, and maybe only recognize a couple songs. Now you have to listen to the whole album, right? Well, why not do it together? On Discali, every show runs you through an entire album and breaks down key parts and songs that make up an album's aesthetic, art, and story. I'm your host, Oliver, and join me every Friday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. in talking about all things music. Want to discover more albums, artists, record pressings, and concerts? I got you. That's every Friday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., so tune in to Discali to discover different discographies and add to the musical discourse.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to 101.9 FM Vancouver. I'm Hannah.
I'm Georgia.
And you're listening to Film Picnic. Okay, we were just on a little bit of a bleak topic.
We set the scene.
We spiraled. No, we didn't.
Work burnout in the film industry.
We've established that it's real and that it exists and that it's important to, I guess, be proactive with your
Well, we're about to get into solutions. Yeah,
you're so right.
We've established.
I'm like, what did we say?
No. We've established that long hours of production contribute to the burnout.
Yes.
We've discussed how it can impact familial relationships,
yes.
romantic relationships. We've discussed our own personal experiences and how we're working to manage it ourselves.
Yeah.
But we're coming to you today with solutions
and some positive things.
Some positive things.
I think. You know, I think the film industry has been shifting.
Mm.
And I think I might be in my little bubble here at UBC, but we really take care of each other. And I've really, really, really enjoyed some of the independent productions that I've been a part of because it's just seeming very care-centered. People are being considered. There's more women in power, basically.
Beautiful. Yeah, I mean, I think there's like the experience too when you get more feminine directors
mm-hmm.
of just, you know, people that have been working in the industry a long time have been kind of pigeonholed into roles, maybe working with kids or, you know, or even people that have started in independent productions and are working their way up from there.
Yeah.
Understand the, you know, structure of an 8 to 10 hour schedule.
Mm.
How to make that work, and then as you rise up, carrying that with you into a larger, more commercial production when given the chance.
Period.
And I think...
Sorry.
No, that was perfect. I think that's exactly what you, Hannah, as a producer, are fostering, but also just these Gen Zers. Like, me shaking my fist at the skateboarders. but I think... I'll say there's not many times when I feel strongly identified with Gen Z. Like, there's times when I really don't identify with this generation or age group a lot. But I do think...
Are you an old soul?
I was born in the wrong generation, baby.
Georgia speaks like a grandmother. An old southern grandmother sometimes.
I feel like
a
grandmother
it.
Sometimes.
It's great.
I love a rocking chair.
We have one in studio.
And we do. But I was going to say, I think our generation is... capable of creating the kind of film industry that we want to work in.
Yeah.
We care about advocating for ourselves. We care about advocating for appropriate conditions.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, not even to mention, obviously this is inclusive of a lot more age groups than just Gen Z, but the strikes that have been happening within the industry, like,
yeah,
you know, people demanding what they deserve.
Yeah.
And I like that the tide is changing.
It is changing.
Mm-hmm. I like that we're not afraid to ask for what we want.
And
if we're cultivating these kind of on-set practices and, you know, practices of care and building in time for well-being and checking in with one mm-hmm. another, I'm like really excited for the day when Hannah is the big boss of everyone and then they're going to be like, no, it's literally going to be like, this was a great set to work on because it was 8 to 10 hours and... we had time for lunch breaks and I can see my family.
And yes, exactly. Yeah. And I also just want to emphasize that starts now.
It starts now.
It starts now. You know, it starts with working on little productions with your friends. You know, granted, here and there, a 24-hour shoot, like crazy, but like sometimes it's fun. Sometimes you're there with your camera and like that's just what you're doing. And that's okay. But like...
I think also working towards that being the exception and not the rule.
Yes.
Like obviously... are shoots over 12 hours going to continue to happen?
Yes.
100%. Do we want it to be the expectation going into it that that's how it's going to be every single day that you're at work? No.
No. And what I mean by that starts now is like when you're in, it's hard when you're in a volunteer position and you're not the director or the producer because those are really the people that set that tone, mm-hmm. right?
And certain directors have that power.
Yes.
You know, people with acclaim,
yes.
Clint Eastwood, Ron Howard,
mm-hmm.
being like, yeah, we're going to have these kind of production hours because they have the clout to demand it or establish that right away.
Yeah, but I think if more people had that mindset and set that standard early on in independent productions when you're doing short films with your friends, you know, if people are volunteering to be there for 10 to 12 hours out of their time, I think it's really embarrassing to call them in for 14 hours or 15. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, don't surprise people. Like, I understand people go into overtime. It happens.
But as my style, I'm so sorry if you guys don't like this, but like, I'm sorry, we're not going to get the shot if we're going over 12 hours. It's just, we're going to have to figure out a way to
and
cut
that's
down
on
the shot list.
And that's on priorities.
That's on priorities. My priority is making sure that people get home safely.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's my job as a producer.
No, but well, I mean, yeah, but the whole point, you know, everything we're talking about is like, yeah, that's not prioritized.
Yeah.
And we want to change that. Yeah, also, you know, it's just like, it can be difficult to be productive, when let alone creative, when you're working over a certain amount in a week in productions. Like, I mean, I think, especially calling it the film industry, like, it's a business. It very much is.
It's an industry.
And it's creativity. How do you manage to be creative and, you know, put that time and effort and energy into your work when you're a zombie and you haven't slept? Like, I'm personally of the opinion, I think sleep enriches creativity and creative production.
Georgia,
hot
I don't
take.
Believe you.
Hot
I don't
take in
believe
the studio.
You, Georgia. No, I agree.
Yeah. And, you know, like, I think it's fun too to think about, well, yeah, I unrelated, but I think it's like fun to think about how personal relationships have a really interesting role in independent productions, and how sometimes, like, you know, if there's the capacity, or especially on like a very micro level, when it's just like you making a video with your friend, isn't it so fun to bring along someone that you love and they are just like, I just want to see what it's like.
Oh my God. And you literally just, can I just say that Willow, my best friend here, my emotional support human, she's coming. She's going to be in my thesis film. Just literally, she's like, can I just be there? I'm like, Willow, like, literally stand by my side, be connected to me at the hip.
Please.
Like, just be my emotional support human. She's like, I'll get you coffee. I'm like, no, that's perfect. Just be there. I just want you to be there and witness. Like, I love that.
Yeah.
There's time for that. There's space in certain situations, obviously. Mm-hmm. But, like, I don't know.
Isn't it nice?
Isn't it nice?
Isn't it nice?
Isn't it lovely?
Another interview I was watching. Deep lore about me. I love John Green, Hank Green, the Vlog Brothers.
Wow. That's how you perceive them, as the Vlog Brothers?
Yeah.
Not
authors? They're YouTube. Well, he's an author. I guess Hank Green is an author now also. They're authors. They're fathers. Anyways. I found them first on as YouTube.
That's fair. I didn't.
Okay.
I found them as, I can't remember what it was called.
The Fault in Our Stars?
Yes.
Yeah. I love media. Okay, yes, but actually, what I'm going to say is relevant to that. It was a video of John Green, and he was talking about, it was like an interview with him and Cara Delevingne, who played Margot in the film adaptation of Paper Towns.
Yes, I watched it. I also read the book.
Yes.
I also read Looking for Alaska and Turtles All the Way Down.
Beautiful. Amazing. But yeah, he was talking about, like, because, you know, obviously his work is being, his novel was being adapted for the screen. And then he got to be there as an executive producer. And, you know, John Green is sitting there and Cara Delevingne is sitting there, and they're kind of talking to each other, interviewing each other. And then John asks Cara, he's like, what do I do as executive producer? And she's like, you are so fun. And that's the whole answer. And I just think that's really cute, because it's like,
that's so funny.
Obviously he's giving personal input and, like, you know, he's the author of the material that they've adapted, but also he's just there for vibes.
Yeah.
He's literally just there for vibes. Like, he's there to hang.
Yeah. Make sure that things are running smoothly.
And be a part of it.
Yeah.
That was a really long-winded way of saying it's nice to have a little bit of the personal in the work.
I agree. I mean, Georgia, you're coming. I mean, I want you to be my second assistant director, because I love you as a human, and I know
Thanks.
That people feel comfortable around you.
Oh my
and
God.
Like, I want my cast to feel comfortable. So you're going to be there to just, that's your job, is to be a good vibe for the cast and make sure that they're safe and happy.
I love that. No, that's actually such a compliment. What a compliment, though, for someone to be like, the vibes are good.
Your vibes are immaculate.
Thank you. Ditto. Same to you.
Oh, stop it, you.
Us complimenting each other on air.
So, like,
what are some solutions?
That's what I was going to say. Like,
what about
our personal solutions, Georgia?
Mm.
How are we? Well, we've kind of talked about us moving forward and what we want to do. We are going into kind of the craziest period of the year, which is December, January.
So much happening.
Where it's like Christmas break and there's productions happening, and then you have your finals and your midterms, and, like, Yeah. Personally, January, I don't have a day off, like one day off. Like that doesn't, it's just, it doesn't exist.
And we know this because of scheduling.
Yes. Like, not, and that's not, that's like, if I had a choice, that would not be the way. And I actually have actively implemented something where I make sure that I have at least one day where I don't have to be worrying about work in the week. So like Saturdays, sure, I might look at something, but like, I don't feel bad if I don't do work.
It's like a can and not a have to.
Exactly. Mm. And it's a shouldn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a shouldn't. It's a should go get coffee with your friends. It's a should lay in bed. It's a should go outside. It's a shouldn't open your laptop and do work. But you can if you have to.
Yeah.
That's worked for me. That's helped me bring a little bit more balance into my life rather than being like, go, go, go for like a month or two and then collapse for like a week. Mm.
Well, to just kind of like piggyback off that, I was looking at, I literally was like, burnout strategies for film industry.
Okay, there you go.
The Utah Film Festival has a great series of videos online. There are instructional videos that range from like cinematography to scripting to, you know, fundraising. But they had a whole video about burnout. And one of their strategies was establishing boundaries. And I think that's exactly what you're talking about. Like,
yeah,
you're being is a day.
Yeah.
This is the day that I'm setting aside. This is the time that I'm setting aside.
For yourself. And then also like working boundaries, like actually with my projects, I know we joked about this, George and I try, but like with my actual like film projects, I do say like after 8 p.m., feel free to text me, but you might not get a response. And I think that's totally reasonable.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and like that's something I had to learn because before I'd get a text message at 12 p.m. and I'm producing and I'd be like, I have to answer this right now.
Yeah.
But that's actually not true.
Yeah. I think
most things can wait.
I think producing is interesting when you're juggling so many small details. At least in I've been a producer on, I'm like, oh my God, like if I don't deal with this right now while it's in front of me and in my brain space, what if it doesn't get handled?
I will say being a producer is a little bit of like a different beast because like the brain doesn't turn off. Like I'm not gonna obviously go into like my boss's personal details or anything, but just for example, she was at the ballet the other night and ran into some people and had a conversation about work, had to leave the ballet early because she couldn't get that thought out of her mind and needed to deal with it then.
Yeah,
like she was so distracted by, you know, because conversations happen, oh hey, let me just mention this project, and then it's like, oh my God, now this whole issue has just arisen and it's like, I'm supposed to be off, but I should probably, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Or just making sure When your job is to make sure things get done,
it's
hard to be like, these are the working hours when I'm going to make sure things get done.
So true.
Real. So real. Another strategy.
Yes.
To utilize, which we kind of just touched on, cultivating a supportive network of people around you. People
that are going to check in on you.
Yeah. Sorry, my hands are so clammy. It's really hot
it's
in here, you guys.
It's so hot in here. Like, so it's actually hot. My feet. I wish I could take my socks off, but we're filming, so I just feel like...
No, I'm already like, it's hot. It's real hot here. A supportive network. But I think that can also include when discussing the film industry in particular, when you're on set. I mean, obviously it's great when you have people that you feel safe and comfortable going to when you're not feeling okay. But making a note of like whatever project you're walking into, at least one person that you feel like you can be honest with about how you're feeling.
Yeah.
And, you know, establishing a supportive network of people that, you know, like working on a film set where you feel safe, which again, like obviously you can bring a vibe to set. Sometimes the vibe is very much determined by the people that are in charge.
The vibe is always determined by who's directing or producing.
Yeah.
Or like, yeah, if they're, yeah, I've said that before.
But let's say the importance of going forward, like
but there can be a sub vibe.
Or, you know, if you're not feeling good and you're like, I have this one person on set who can relate to me and understand what I'm feeling right now, or is just a genuinely kind person that I feel like I can touch base with, utilize the people around you when you're feeling in need because people want to support each other.
They do.
Yeah.
It's community.
It's community.
Also, like, I do love, like, you're in that together. Like, something I loved about theater in high school was it was kind of like a trauma bond of, like, we are going through this hellscape of an insane director together. And like, surreal. You know, yeah. And like film is also of like, we are doing these crazy hours together. We're in this, you know, you get to your delirious hours. Mm-hmm. And you're giggling, mm-hmm. like us right now. I